Hills Drive and North 24th Street.
Cop Shop with FPD. I'm Georgette Allen, Public Information Officer with the Police Department, here with my co-host, Chief Steve Hebby, and today's guest, Sergeant Kevin Burns with Region 2 Narcotics and the San Juan County Sheriff's Office. Thanks for coming in, Kevin.
Thank you.
You, Chief, get a break today from our movie game.
She does this movie line game. And
it's funny.
And it's all rigged, so if I don't get it right, I have to buy her a coffee.
It's not rigged.
I can't get anything for getting right, but you know, I can lose. So she's giving me a break today.
What's rigged about you not knowing any movie lines?
Yeah. But this is a good day. We're not going to be depressed today. My Mighty Pack came through. We upended the Cowboys. I know many of you are Cowboy fans out there, and you're probably crushed. And actually, I'm glad about that, really. The Mighty Pack looked good on Sunday. You saw him, didn't you, Georgia?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's what I thought.
I don't watch football.
Anyway, did you see him, Sergeant Burns?
I did see that.
Are you a Cowboys fan?
Negative.
Outstanding. I already like our new guest. He's off to a great start with us.
Who's your team?
Broncos.
Oh. Sure.
Yeah.
That was the next guess. I guess. Cowboys or Broncos are on here.
Can you hit the mute button for just a minute?
It did take him to the last second to get it done over there, though.
It did. It's better when there's some drama and then you rip it right out of their hands.
True.
So.
All right. So we start with our guests. What do you want to do? Some announcements?
Give us a few announcements.
Okay. So if you don't follow us on Facebook, yesterday we had a post about our traffic division had just reported September of this year. We had the lowest number of crashes reported for all of 2017, which is a 46% drop compared to September of last year. So,
which is very good.
It is very good. We're out there conducting focused traffic enforcements. We're going to continue to do that in conjunction with our newly launched Slow Down Farmington campaign. So this campaign is a partnership between FPD, City of Farmington, and the community. And we're calling on community to be, well, advocates of their community and remind others to slow down and take their time and not a life. So we've got yard signs for people. We launched this campaign at National Night Out. It was pretty popular. People are sharing their pictures with us. We've got a couple on our post. Somebody even had their dog in it taking
Very
pictures
good.
With their sign out there in front of their house. And so the signs are free to the public, and they can pick them up at the police department or over at City Hall. So,
and that's, you know, that's a stat that we all should be proud of, that we saw a decline of that significant in nature. The police department is not going to be alone, able to curb speeding, able to curb traffic collisions across the city. It's going to take the community really doing it, each one of you being more committed to slowing down, being more committed to making sure your neighbors or your family members are slowing down. We ought to be able to drive from point A to point B in our town and not wind up getting either somebody crashing into us or somebody nearly crashing into us. And I was real proud of our city when I saw those numbers.
Yeah, me too. So again, we are out there. So right now our focus is we're in the neighborhoods on the east end of Farmington.
We
and
are.
So we, you know, our traffic division looks at numbers and where some of these high crash areas are, and that's where they focus their attention on. This is also how we determine if where our speed trailer goes. Again, just another reminder. So the signs, you know, we know that that's not going to stop it alone. But again, coupled with our efforts, and then you as community advocates getting out there and reminding people, you know, we hope to reduce those crashes.
It's all about awareness. The signs are free. Come on in and pick one up and put it in your yard. I've got one. Georgette's got one out in her yard. Do you have one, Mike? Mike doesn't have one yet. He's trying to.
Did you just call him
undercover.
Mike?
Yeah, well, okay. Sergeant Burns, I apologize. So come and grab one, stick them out in your yard, and we'll actually roam around the city and we'll stick some in random people's yards maybe from time to time.
Yes.
Georgette might be doing that soon.
While you're up there, you can also get Back the Blue signs. Mm-hmm. We had quite a few people requesting those, so we actually printed some of those up. Out at National Night Out, and I've seen them all over town too, mm-hmm. along with our Slow Down Farmington signs.
Those are free also.
Those are free also. So when we run out, we'll have to order some more. So, yep. But
we
come
appreciate
on
the community support. So Back the Blue.
We do, absolutely. So reminder: it's cold in the mornings. So, you know, a lot
getting
of people.
Colder.
It is. It is getting colder. Yesterday, I had frost on my windows. That does not make me happy when I come out and I'm already running late. I'm like, oh, there's frost. I don't have time for frost.
What's sad is this is the way it is in Alaska right now, which is, of course, many years of experience living in October in Alaska with snow already.
And that's why you're never going back, huh?
That's why I have not been back since.
You want to go to Phoenix.
Well, I want to stay in Farmington for a while. At least I'll say that. How's that? I can't do Phoenix.
You would melt. So with that, we just want to remind people again, a lot of people I know don't have garages around here. It's, you know, you warm up your car. Want to get it nice and toasty before you jump in it to go off to work or and get the frost off. But please make sure, you know, if you are choosing to do that, keep it in eyesight. You need to lock your car. This time of year, auto bergs go up because people are warming their cars, leaving them unlocked and leaving them unattended. Another good way, if you're needing to do that, start your car. They have different brands of the remote.
Starts.
Thank you. Auto start, remote starts. Thank you. And so it has a safety feature on them. Most of them, you try to put them in gear and there's no key in there and it automatically shuts off. Mm-hmm. So if you do need to warm up, you don't have a garage or whatnot. So,
and auto theft, auto burg in our community is a significant problem, but auto theft across the state of New Mexico is an extremely serious problem. And if you've been following anything that's been going on down in Albuquerque and maybe you're trying to keep the news all happy, and so you're not following it that closely, but lots and lots of thefts of vehicles from Albuquerque, and that is a significant risk for us as well here. And so Georgette's right, find alternatives to just starting your car and leaving the key in it and walking inside, because it doesn't take but a moment to jump in a car and it's gone, and it could be a long time, if ever, that you get that car back. So help us help you, and let's all make a commitment to reducing our vehicle theft numbers.
And one more announcement before we get to today's guest. We've had a couple of reports of suspicious people approaching kids while they're walking home from school. And so we've just posted information out on our Facebook page as well, with description of the suspects. Anyone with information, we are requesting that they call that into San Juan County Crime Stoppers. But if you're witnessing something suspicious, somebody approaching kids or trying to lure a child into a car, please call 911 immediately. Please don't try to message us again on our social media platforms. These aren't watched 24 hours and you're not going to get an immediate police response. So that's important that you call 911. Also, talking with your kids, not just one time, but talking to them and having that conversation frequently with your kids about taking safety precautions. If they're, having to walk to the bus stop or to school, if they can walk in a group, being aware of their surroundings at all time, never accepting rides from strangers, but also letting kids know, look, you're not allowed to accept a ride with anybody, even if you know them, if I haven't given you permission prior to that. Previously, we've always talked about stranger danger, but unfortunately, the reality is sometimes kids are abducted from either a family member or a friend. So again, letting your child know, if I didn't give you permission beforehand, don't take a ride with somebody. And then another important tip is if you see something, say something. Make sure kids know that and talk to them about a safe person that they can go to, whether it's a police officer or their teacher. And then talking to them about calling 911. I know a lot of kids have cell phones at a very young age nowadays. So, and then, if they have to report that right away to their parents when they get home. So, again, if you see something, say something. Do you have anything
to add? That's a real world right now threat. So we need your help. Take a look on our Facebook page for a good description of the vehicle and the people involved in that, and talk with your kids. Let's make sure our kids stay safe.
All right. I'm going to hand it over to you now.
Okay.
And chat with our
guests. With me is Sergeant Kevin Burns. Which, you know, Georgette told me his name's Mike, and I don't know what Georgette's.
Such thing.
Sometimes Georgette maybe drinks a little. I'm having to look into that, folks. Wow. But anyway, that's a separate conversation. And could you perhaps mute Georgette's microphone right now so we can just focus on real business here?
Good times.
So Kevin is the director of Region 2 Narcotics, and I'm going to let Kevin give us a little history on Region 2 and how he came to be there, but what the makeup of it is, and it's kind of unique arrangement. I saw nothing like this when I was in Alaska. We didn't have this sort of relationship with other agencies, so I'm real proud of our participation in this, and I thank you for coming, Kevin.
Thank you, sir. The Region 2 Narcotics Task Force is made up of area agencies, Farmington Police Department, San Juan County Sheriff's Office, Bloomfield Police Department, Aztec Police Department, all provide manpower and funding. And we have federal partnerships with Homeland Security and the FBI. And the model is set up so that everybody shares resources, knowledge, and that we're not working separately on the same type of projects. So we're able to work together to more effectively combat illegal narcotics, and that's our main mandate, is to disrupt and dismantle drug trafficking organizations. We receive grant funding from a couple of different sources. That's what makes it possible for us to go out and impact these communities in San Juan County. Obviously, with grocery receipts and typical police budgets, it's really not possible for area agencies to absorb the money that would the overtime money that we would be spending to try to impact the projects that we work on. So we're very, very proud of the work that we do. We're very proud of our federal partnerships. The federal prosecution is much stronger. The federal hammer, what we refer to, is a lot stronger than the stateside hammer. So we try to get as many federal prosecutions and cases accepted federally as we possibly can.
So we, like you said, we have all of the local law enforcement up here that plays a role in it. The Aztec and Bloomfield departments link in with the Sheriff's Office and the FPD. And what we know in Farmington is that, you know, drug offenses that are going on around us in the county also impact us here in the city. And that's the same thing for Aztec and Bloomfield. They know if things are going on in Farmington or out in the county, it eventually works its way in and impacts them. And so it's, you know, that's the unique nature of the Four Corners area. We really are kind of isolated up here to an extent, but then that really forces us to be more cooperative and pool resources and work better and communicate better. So, you know, that's one reason I'm proud of the region setup. It's not the only interagency cooperation that we have. We also do that with our dispatch center and with our training center up here, which really does, it's unique in the state when you look at the ability of local agencies and the county to cooperate so well. That is not everywhere, is it, Kevin?
I agree.
So a lot of the public watching probably knows that there's drugs in the area, and drugs across the country are a major focal point of political rank or some. The biggest one that you see across the nation is the opioid crisis. And what's the biggest threat for us here in the Four Corners area, Kevin?
Well, the biggest problem that we're seeing over the past 3 years is fentanyl-based heroin that's coming in. And so an opiate addict, if they can't get prescription medications, is going to turn to the next best thing, which is obviously another opiate-based drug, which is heroin. So when an individual turns to heroin, the problem is that it's, you know, fentanyl is laced in it. We're seeing toxicology reports come back from overdoses. And so I think it's now the trend is possible that it's going to force, you know, opiate addicts to try to look for the prescriptions because it's a safer alternative if they have an addiction. And so it's a give and take. It's if they don't have pills, then they're going to look for heroin. And it's a horrible addiction that causes people to they'll pull their own teeth to go to the ER, they'll injure themselves so that they can get medication. The medical professionals are doing an outstanding job right now to see through a lot of these types of ploys to obtain illegal narcotics, prescription medications. And so it's a problem. And obviously the data shows that New Mexico is at the top of the list. And our proximity to the border when it comes to heroin, coupled with, you know, the pill addiction, it creates kind of the perfect storm for for us to be at the top of that list.
So the prescription pill addiction has always been a significant problem across the United States, but that's not something that local jurisdictions have the impact, the ability to impact as greatly as the feds do through their relationships with doctors and medical professionals. Is that right?
That's true. The United States Attorney's Office has instituted new programs to try to combat this from the prosecution standpoint. So there are more resources there available for sure. But, you know, at the local level, we try to evaluate these cases at, in the early stages of the criminal justice system to try to see if this is somebody that we can fix through, the either drug court, if they're depending on what their cooperation with drug court or court mandates was in the past, their criminal history. Is this somebody that we can fix? Is this somebody that we can save? So
so we do have drug courts here in the Four Corners area.
Yes, sir, we do.
That we can, rather than a focus on punishment, there's more of a focus on rehabilitation and treatment.
Absolutely.
And that's not just here and not just on that topic. Mental health courts are another one that are growing across the country. And there are efforts to look at ways to cut down on incarceration for things that maybe the underlying issue isn't a criminal issue in the first place. It's an addiction issue or a mental health issue. So that is an effective tool. I'm glad that we have it in the Four Corners area. And you sit on the board, if I recall?
Yes, sir.
For the drug court?
Correct.
How many folks do you guys see come through there? It's fairly heavily used.
Absolutely. Police officers, sheriff's deputies, area agencies that Region 2 Narcotics work with, we see all of those cases. And so we see them at all levels. So police officers are out conducting normal business when they come in contact with somebody and end up with a lawful arrest and somebody has an addiction issue or they have a possession of prescription medications. That case gets evaluated again, on the early stages to see, is this somebody that needs, jail time, or is this somebody that we can fix and change the behavior?
So, throughout my career, one of the flaws that I saw in law enforcement was we tend to operate like individual boats out on the sea. And, we're kind of isolated. So we've talked about the cooperation among the four boats here in the Four Corners area, but that extends even to the federal level, like you've been talking. So we have good relationships with some of our federal partners, and we actively use those relationships up here. Who are some of the players that we interact with pretty regularly?
Again, our two main federal partners, which is a mandate for us to be able to receive federal funding, is the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Homeland Security Investigation. They provide manpower, they provide investigative support, oversight. There are some resources, especially from a financial standpoint, and tools that we don't have. So especially if an investigation links to an outside jurisdiction, I have to justify to the leaders of San Juan County that there's a good reason why we're taking our people out of San Juan County.
Sure.
And if it, if an investigation leads outside of the county and I can justify to individuals such as yourself that it's going to impact us and it's going to stop the flow of narcotics at some point, then, obviously that's an easy decision to make. And so we lean on those federal partners to have not just jurisdiction, but for manpower issues to be able to, hopefully stop the flow from wherever we're at.
Sure. And as close as we are to the Mexico-American border, we're still kind of a transient area. Folks come out of Phoenix or out of Albuquerque and they're moving drugs, from to Denver or as far east as Chicago and New York City. So having that cooperation with federal agencies that can track the drugs or track the offenders to areas outside and states outside of our immediate area is helpful.
Absolutely. From the intelligence standpoint, that's where another area where we lean on them. They have bigger capabilities in that particular area that helps us for sure.
So our proximity to the Navajo Nation as well as the Arizona border highlights that need for cooperation of players that can move across borders that wouldn't otherwise be a Farmington PD or Bloomfield PD officer's jurisdiction. We have contacts with the Navajo Nation. We're always looking to build better relationships with them to improve that communication and information sharing, because offenders out on the Navajo Nation frequently will come in and commit crimes in the county or in the city. And the same true in reverse. And so, you know, that kind of information sharing doesn't just happen among the local agencies here in the county, but it also happens with the NPD.
Absolutely. We meet with criminal investigators as often as we can and exchange information. We just had an intel sharing meeting with those guys and trying to continue to bridge those gaps because information is what, you know, feeds these investigations for sure and helps us impact the community.
So what do you see as the biggest threats for us here in the Four Corners area as it relates to the drug trade and maybe even some of the local laws and state laws that we've seen?
Our biggest problem is cheap meth. Methamphetamine is being manufactured in Mexico. There's no attempts or mandates to restrict precursors. So they can get precursors to make methamphetamine. They're making it mega labs.
And by precursors, what do you mean by that?
Ingredients to make it. There's no restrictions on labs. There's not anybody calling in saying I'm getting a strange smell. These, you know, obviously cartels, they'll own, hundreds and hundreds of square miles of area. They'll do with it whatever they have to do because it's so lucrative money-wise. And so all that floods across the border in some form or fashion, whether it's, you know, in a vehicle or a semi-truck or being dropped by a plane or by a mule that's been forced into service to the cartel. It gets here. It's super cheap. And it feeds the property crimes. It feeds violent crimes. And so, with this, the catch and release program, that's probably a poor term, but the catch and release system that's kind of been put in place recently has caused some issues because we do have some violent individuals that we would like to see stay in jail a lot longer till their trials are over.
So, you know, as part of the new rules that you just referenced, you know, one of the things the court's supposed to really be looking at is the likelihood that folks would show up for court. And that can be tricky with some of the offenders that we're dealing with in the Region 2 world, because sometimes they come from out of the country, and not infrequently they come from out of the Four Corners area on guys that you're arresting. So that makes it trickier.
Absolutely. It's very difficult.
So we're going to take a couple of minute break here, and we'll be back. We'll continue the conversation with Kevin, and we'll bring Georgette in for some of her antics. And we're back. I'm Chief Steve Hebby, and with me is my co-host, as always, our Public Information Officer, Georgette Allen, and our guest today is Region 2 Director Kevin Burns, Sergeant with the Sheriff's Office. Sergeant with the Sheriff's Office. We'll start back in today, and I want Kevin to be here because I'll give Kevin actually a chance to even weigh in on one of the picks for us. So our NFL picks, again, the Packers were 4-1, but not just that, but last week I was able to win again. I've had a couple of bad weeks where things didn't go so well, but as you know, you can email us at fpdnfl@fmtn.org with your picks, and you have a shot to win a $25 gift certificate or a $15 or a $10 gift certificate. This last week I was pleased I didn't owe anybody anything. And Georgette is always happy when I'm able to prevail in this.
No.
Georgette's lucky if she can spell NFL, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to make the picks today. Please don't. We're not interrupting each other here.
Okay. I will punish you later.
So Thursday night, we have the Carolina Panthers at the Eagles, and we're going with Carolina. We have the Packers over the Vikings. That seems an obvious pick, doesn't it? Packers are on the road at Minnesota, but Minnesota's playing a backup quarterback. He's actually a backup to a backup. The Packers ought to win. The Texans over the Browns. The Browns cannot fumble forward. The Falcons over the Dolphins. I'm not sure what's going on with Jay Cutler, but it isn't good, whatever it is. The Redskins over the 49ers. 49ers still, I think they've lost overtime twice now, the last 2 weeks in a row. So the Redskins. The Ravens over the Bears. And I'm going to give a shout-out, ladies and gentlemen. There's a Bears fan that works in my office named Candace. And Candace, I think, listens to the show. And Candace every week hopes I'm going to pick the Bears. And I every week I tell her, this is the week I'm going to pick the Bears. And, of course, there is never a week I'm going to pick the Bears. And it isn't this one either. It's the Ravens over the Chicago Bears. Saints over the Lions. Patriots over the Jets. That's disappointing. I'm not a Patriot fan in any way, shape, or form. Are you?
Negative. Kevin? Nope.
Kevin, negative. Negative on the Patriot love.
Yep.
In this office.
Cheaters.
There. That's it. Boy, we let's get him a permanent gig on our show. The Jaguars over the Rams. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers over Arizona. Raiders over the Chargers. Now, that's a dicier one because Carr's coming back. He's a little nicked up. But I'm going to give him Raiders over the Chargers. Chiefs over the Steelers. I'm not sure what is going on with Big Ben. My wife's team is the Steelers, and he was playing like he was under the influence of something last week. I'll say that. I'm going to leave this one for you. The Broncos and the Giants are playing. It's in Denver. I'll let you make the pick for me.
That's a no-brainer. Eli, I think
Giants, his, apparently.
I think his best days are done.
He's going with the Broncos over the Giants. Yeah. I think that's an easy pick, actually. And then the Titans over the Colts. That'll be a tough one because the Titans quarterback has been injured, too. But early reports are he's going to be back this week, and they should prevail over the Colts. So there are your Chiefs winner picks. But feel free to try your luck against me now that you know my picks even in advance. Send them in and have a shot to win a gift certificate. So we'll go back to talking with Kevin a little bit. And Georgette, you had a couple of things you wanted to talk with him about.
No, we're not speaking now. You.
Boy, if I knew it was that easy, I would have done this, ladies and gentlemen, at your request. Really, it's your emails that have demanded I turn off our mic.
No, you mentioned that we have a drug take back coming up here pretty quick. But people can also turn in their drugs at any time, or prescription. I should clarify that. Prescription.
Well, they could stuff their cocaine in our things. No, they don't generally.
Do that. We have bins set up inside Farmington Police Department. You guys have one at your substation?
At Lee Acres, yes.
At Lee Acres.
And I think there's one at the Kirtland substation as well.
Kirtland, Bloomfield, and then Aztec as well. So, and we'll be back with the date and time on the take back.
October 28th.
Okay, October 28th.
And it's typically from 10 to 2. There'll be flyers, and typically Pamela Drake with
Salmon County Partnership.
Yeah, brings me back in here, and we talk about it again right before that. So to remind folks that's available. We have, you know, a lot of times people, especially elderly people, will save prescription medication because it's so expensive, and that was kind of the trend for a lot of years for people to do that. Well, once the opioid prescription medication epidemic, we realized that that's where a lot of our addicts are getting that medication, or even getting exposed to it initially, is that it's prevalent and it's available in all of our medicine cabinets. And so that's part of what the drug take back wants to focus on, is proper storage and proper disposal of those prescription medications to keep them out of the hands of obviously anybody. There was a perception that it was young people. There's no demographic specific to addiction. It doesn't matter. So that's a great program. And you know, when somebody passes, we end up with tons and tons of prescription pills that are sitting on nightstands and boxes and you know, countertops, and you know, it's just, we have a tendency to save those things, and family members don't know what to do with it. They don't know, you know, they don't want to get rid of it while the individual is still, you know, alive. And then once they pass, then they're struggling with what do we do with all this stuff? And so again, those are opportunities that people have to get access to those things. And so again, the drug take back, you know, happens twice a year. We have one coming up October 28th. And then if you miss that, again, we have the drop stations at the police departments and the sheriff's
office. And that is a challenge for people. We had it in Anchorage, too. We started the prescription drop boxes because citizens didn't know what else to do with them. You know, throw them down the toilet, and it gets into the water system. And if you've got hundreds and hundreds of people throwing thousands and thousands of pills down toilets across the city, it can affect things. So there really was a push from our community in Anchorage to set up these prescription boxes to give family members an alternative. And those are available whenever business hours are open. I know you can come into FPD and drop them off in our drug box, and then we dispose of them safely.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
So you've got a couple of other things that you wanted to talk about today as it relates to the opioid crisis and some of the challenges that law enforcement and citizens see dealing with overdoses. And the first one is a law that you really wanted to highlight.
What happens sometimes when somebody, these are horrible situations when somebody has an addiction, and a lot of times with opiate-based medications and heroin, is obviously it's a depressant. It slows down the breathing, slows down the heart rate, and sometimes people will take it to the point where they overdose. And then the individuals that may be present are fearful to call for help because they are fearful that the paraphernalia or whatever drugs that are still left around may get them in trouble. So we just want to make sure that everybody understands that preservation of life is more important than, you worrying about being charged with that. So there's a law in place that prevents us from charging. It's limited immunity. There's kind of some common sense and reasonableness involved with this decision. It doesn't mean we're not gonna seize it. We will seize it for destruction. We're gonna log it into evidence, and we're gonna seize it for destruction. But we want you to call in if a person has an issue, has an overdose. That's the priority. Let's get medics there. Let's get them the Narcan or naloxone, and let's get them brought back around and save the life first, and we'll worry about the whatever drugs and paraphernalia is left. We've had situations here in San Juan County. In 2015, we had a situation where an individual was dropped off at the ER. He later died, or he may have been deceased when he was dropped off. And obviously, it can be the individual died of a heroin overdose, and it can be inferred that the individuals that were present were fearful of, getting in trouble for, calling law enforcement and medics to that house. And
sure.
So, and that individual that dropped him off ended up catching, ended up being charged. So, this law, 3031.27.1 prevents that from happening.
Because that's not really our goal anyway, with law enforcement in those kind of situations. And overdosing, unfortunately, with the opioid crisis is all too common. It's so common, in fact, in other parts of the state, we still have a reasonably significant meth problem here. We haven't been swamped quite by the opioids, but when you're looking at across New Mexico and even in areas like West Virginia, you see many, many overdoses associated with the opioid crisis. And the priority for law enforcement and first responders is saving that person's life and not making an arrest or building a criminal case.
Correct.
So there's a new state law as well for our public that doesn't know that, that mandates that law enforcement will have available to them Narcan or other drugs to counteract the effects of the opioids. We at FPD are rolling that out. I know other departments around the state and even locally have that. It's something that our fire departments already carry, and I know in Farmington we've had instances of overdoses that were going to be fatal, but the fire department was able to arrive and use that tool to bring people back and counteract the effects of it. And all that goes to the need for citizens to call us when they're in that. We have a window of time where we can still counteract the effects of that. But if people are more afraid of being arrested for drug use than they are in helping us save their friend, precious moments are lost, and sometimes you can't counteract that overdose. So that is the true problem in the opioid crisis, is the amount of overdoses, the ease with which that apparently is happening, and then our efforts, hopefully, to counteract that. But it depends on time and people calling.
Absolutely.
So we've talked some about the federal partnership. There is a relationship between the Homeland Security. There's a relationship with FBI. But we even have some contacts with the ATF and with the Marshal Service in particular up here.
And that's absolutely correct. And I didn't mean to leave those guys out. We work very closely with those other agencies. U.S. Marshal Service is instrumental in a lot of felony level arrests. They focus primarily on those types of arrests that meet that criteria from a dangerousness standpoint. So we greatly appreciate those guys. The ATF is another agency that's understaffed and overworked, but they don't hesitate to come up here and assist us when we ask. So we are thankful for that partnership as well. We've worked hard through our relationship directly with them and the relationship that the Farmington Gang Unit has built with those guys over the years. So, and that's a good point. Those two entities cannot be forgotten for the contributions they've made to investigations here locally.
So a federal presence up here isn't something that our public sees all the time on a day-to-day basis. There is a fairly significant FBI presence, but a lot of those resources are devoted to going out to the Navajo Nation and assisting them in investigating some of the more serious crimes. And there's a homicide problem out there on the reservation, and the FBI is chasing it. The supervisor from here in Farmington supervises officers here and then down in Gallup as well. So you know that the focus is assisting the Navajo Nation PD in crime, but they also play a role in helping us take cases into the federal system like you were talking about.
Absolutely. And obviously, as you said, their predominant focus, area of responsibility, is the violent crimes on the reservation. You know, whenever another situation such as a bank robbery or maybe a crime that occurs in Checkerboard area where jurisdiction isn't clear cut, they don't hesitate to jump in and work side by side with us until we can you know, figure out exactly what's going to be the best approach. But those guys, their caseload is through the roof, and that's an area of the world that could use some assistance for sure.
So we're also fairly close to the Colorado border here, and I imagine that we have some interactions with some of the anti-drug units from southern Colorado.
We do. We work hard to you know, maintain those relationships, because you know, a tank of gas can get you anywhere in the four corners. So I always say that our bad guys are their bad guys, and vice versa. So we do work closely with those guys, and we actually work cases together. Their information, if a person ends up being pushed out of their area, then we'll take it over, and vice versa. If we push them up there, then they take over the investigation. And so, you know, again, we're proud of our relationships that we continue to build with area agencies, because that state line really, that means nothing when it comes to crimes being committed here and somebody running to that area of the world that needs to be arrested or vice versa. You know, we work with Montezuma County, Cortez, all the way over to Pagosa and Archuleta County. It just doesn't matter, because anybody can drive from here to there and either commit a crime or sell a gun or, you know, it just, those lines, those county lines and state lines mean nothing to a bad guy when he's deciding to commit, you know, crimes.
So Colorado, as we all know, has made the fateful decision to jump in and try legalized marijuana. New Mexico has not done that yet, but we're awful close to the border with Colorado, and so you do see some of the spillover effects of that. What impact have you guys seen at region?
One of the main things that's come of that is the influx of the high grade marijuana that's being sold there. It just makes it difficult for us to spend our limited manpower and funding on a drug that has, you know, socially and through the criminal justice system isn't viewed the same way it was even 10 years ago. And when you weigh it against the violence that comes from methamphetamine and the property crimes that come from methamphetamine, it's really hard for us to, at all levels, to, you know, work that the way we used to work it, because it floods across the border so easily, because it's legal to buy it legal to buy marijuana if you have a valid driver's license. It doesn't matter where you're from. You can walk in there and buy a small amount of marijuana legally.
Sure.
So it's, you know,
it also presents challenges, because the cartel's not, it's not like they're not aware that marijuana is legal up there. And so they can set up shop up in Colorado, and I think they can set up grows, and now all of a sudden the marijuana is legal. And I know there's precautions that are supposed to be in place in Colorado for checking different types of marijuana, but boy, it's hard to tell when it's all swamping and then coming across the country out of Colorado.
They're not going to give up that market share. So part of what they've done is the low grade weed that was grown in Mexico. Those seizures have actually gone down on the border. So what we're seeing is the thought process and the belief is that they're flooding the market with increasingly cheaper meth and increasingly cheaper heroin to make up that market loss. Mm-hmm. From the marijuana. So that doesn't mean that they're not doing exactly what you said by having those participating and actually getting into the legalized marijuana business, because again, that's very easy to do.
Sure.
But at the same time,
low risk.
Exactly. They're not going to give up. So it is believed right now, the data is starting to show that, you know, we believe from an intelligence standpoint that that's part of their theory, is to gain back that market share through increased users and increased addicts through cheaper meth and cheaper heroin.
And meth is still is kind of the drug of choice in the Four Corners area, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? And we see that where other cities around New Mexico aren't seeing the same amount of usage. They're seeing much more of the heroin and the opioids, but we still are battling meth. Why do you suppose that is?
I think it's the proximity, and I think it's the avenues in our proximity to Mexico and those avenues. It takes 7 hours, you know, to get to Phoenix. It takes another few hours to get to the border. And it's so cheap that people that typically had to wait for a higher functioning individual to go obtain it and bring it here, now we have people that are now able to obtain either pawn enough jewelry or steal enough jewelry from a family member or a neighbor to attain a few hundred dollars to go down, and now we have people that are, and it's always happened, but I think it's to a greater degree now that everybody's a drug dealer because of the cheap meth.
Sure. Well, meth is a significant problem. It does lead to a lot of violent crime, as well as the property crime, but really most of the drugs, whether it's cocaine or, you know, crack cocaine was the same. Before heroin's the same, you lead to lots of property crimes to support that habit.
Yes, sir.
Which I think is some of the theory behind the drug courts that they're setting up, that you can continue to punish it, but more effective is getting them off the drugs, and hopefully that way you can impact the number of users and counteract what the cartels are trying to do.
Absolutely.
So how do you see the next year and a half? Things have changed some with the Trump administration and their focus on some of the crime. Maybe the Obama administration's goals were a little more for police reform. The Trump administration has been more hardline on crime, in particular drugs. Are you guys seeing any difference in the new administration's handling it as it relates to the U.S. Attorney's Office and their willingness to take cases?
It's at our level, it is not as obvious as it is at the federal level when we're present for some of those conversations. Those guys are receiving, I think, a little bit more funding, and I think they're, for lack of better terms, the gloves have been taken off and they're allowed to go back to work to a certain degree. The funding is now being making sure that there are no restrictions on immigration investigations. So if an entity does have any kind of a policy in place, then they're probably going to have that prevents exchange of information, reference immigration. They're probably going to get federal funding at all levels, and whether it's traffic or roads or law enforcement, that funding is probably going to be restricted if they show that they have any kind of a policy in place that restricts those types of investigations. But for the most part, I think, you know, obviously it appears that the Trump administration is pro-law enforcement. And so I think the feds are getting the more positive side of it. It hasn't had a tremendous effect on us so far.
So we don't, you know, we're not a sanctuary city here, and San Juan County is not a sanctuary county. We do cooperate with the feds, in particular in long-term drug investigations that come out of Mexico or have ties to Mexico. And our relationship, in your opinion, on helping the feds with immigration issues or with folks that are tied across the border and bringing drugs or guns into our community, it's been a good relationship with them.
Absolutely. I still think it's vetted on criminal history. The folks that have criminal history that meet that criteria are going to be at the top of the list. You know, the ones that, and obviously that's not my area of responsibility, but I think that just from what I'm seeing from the outside on the ones that we've come in contact with, those lower level individuals that, you know, don't meet that criteria, aren't selling illegal narcotics, transporting illegal narcotics, selling firearms, or have prior violent crimes in their history, obviously are going to be at the top of the list.
Very good. Well, Kevin, thank you for coming in.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the information, and the public should know that we're out there battling hard. as four separate agencies, but all working together to stop drugs coming into our community.
Yes, sir.
We'll take another minute and a half break, and we'll be right back.
And we're back with the Cop Shop with FPD. I'm Georgette Allen, Public Information Officer with the Farmington Police Department, here with Chief Hebby. How was the Shiprock Fair this weekend?
Shiprock Fair was good. So we had, for those of you that have never been out to the parade on Saturday, it's quite the spectacle. They shut down two lanes of the road, and folks line up on both sides of the street, and they have floats going down, and it takes hours to get through it. It's an impressive spectacle. I think it's a 2.5 mile route, I want to say, but it actually maybe was a little bit longer. But we had a small contingent of FPD officers out there on Friday, and then on Saturday as well. It was four officers helping with traffic control and two with bike patrol, and they partner up with NPD officers and ride around the fairgrounds and make sure things stay safe. Same thing with our officers that are directing traffic. We've done that now for 3 years in a row. It's an effort on our part to cooperate with NPD and support them. And if you've ever been out there to watch the challenge that law enforcement faces, it's no kidding. It's a major event for the Four Corners area. You have thousands and thousands of people that are lined up in the streets, and making sure that that event is safe and that the folks that attended are safe, that's our number one priority up here. And so we've been pleased the last several years to be out there. Last year I was out, I wound up directing traffic a fair amount at the end, and I got sunburned pretty royally. This year wasn't quite as warm. It was a little cooler in the morning. So it was a better event for me. I was able to duck a bad sunburn like I had last year.
They have sunblock, you know.
You know, it didn't start off that hot, and I didn't think I'd be directing traffic, and those two conspired against me.
It was cool. People sent in pictures last year. I haven't gotten any this year of you guys from community members. Last year we had quite a few sent in, but yeah. I was wondering about the setup. So our dog groomer actually goes out and participates, and her son do. And they were telling us that this year's setup for the vendors or something were different. And so they were worried that it was how it was going to turn out, that it was chaos. So did you see any problems with that?
You know, I had some problem figuring out where the vendors were.
Oh, okay.
And even NPD officers didn't seem to know an exact location for it. So, you know, I'm not sure how visitors found that. But I think they did make different arrangements this year out there. And I think that it impacted at least the visibility of the vendors.
Okay. Good. So I was curious. She said they set up different for safety, but describing it didn't sound like
Yeah.
I was wondering how it was going to go.
Well, it's probably not the best one. I can't even tell you where it was. But but I will tell you, every time I've been out there, it's been a good event. People are happy to see us out there. They're having a good time. There's, you know, it's a great parade. Lots of floats in it of all different types from around the area and around the state. So it was a good event. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with your friend, but she was actually in the parade.
No, her and her son have. They're vendors out there. They sell some. I can't remember what she said.
Okay.
They set up out there every year and stuff and participate. So she was just telling me about it. We were chatting for a while, but it's been years since I've been out there. But I remember. I mean, it was years ago, probably in the 90s. And there was. I just remember trying to get out there, and the traffic backed up.
Oh yeah.
All the way down the highway. And
well, you got to get out there early.
Yeah.
So they start lining up about 8 in the morning, and then they're off at 9. And we were there until after 11. The FPD contingent was primarily focused at the finish line, directing traffic and making sure that road stayed closed on that end. So it was quite the event.
Okay. And then you guys were all, well, you weren't.
I couldn't do both.
Yeah. Why not?
But I tried.
Road Apple rally this weekend. We had a couple officers who actually participated in, and then, of course, we were out there with traffic, making
yes.
sure everybody...
That's another good event. So this was just a busy weekend in general for the Four Corners area. But the Road Apple's a good draw for us. FPD supports it by, you know, with traffic control and things like that. But we had a number of officers that participated in it this year. My wife even rode in it. She did the 15-mile one. And, gee, I was going to do it with her. And, you know, I couldn't make it. I was...
Huh.
I was previously tied up with the Shiprock Fair. So.
Funny how that happened.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Huh. I'm going to have to change your schedule next year. Cause, you know,
but she finished it, and she appeared to have fun, but she was tired, and I was different kind of tired, so I was happy.
Well, we've got a lot of officers who actually bike. I didn't know that. So should I spill the beans about what we're planning?
No, it's right at the end of the show. We'll have to leave that for the future.
Oh, come on. Just a little bit of teaser,
right,
so people know that we're planning. It's in the works, and it's going to be May for Law Enforcement Memorial Week. We're planning our own bike run. The route is still to be determined. I've been in some of the meetings with that, so it sounds like it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, Memorial Bike Ride, similar to what they do in
Albuquerque.
There's one from New Jersey up to Washington, D.C. during Police Memorial Week, and then there's another one that's been in Albuquerque the last few years that we're aware of. And so we're starting ours. It'll be Police Memorial Week, and we're still working on the details.
And we are, and you're going to be in that?
I will be in that. So apparently it's tell a secret, tell a Georgette.
It's not a secret. We're going to spill the beans right here. I'm going to be following you.
Yes.
From the comfort of
a
vehicle.
Car. Yeah, that's what
yes. Taking pictures of you. And
I'll be there.
Laughing at you.
Ladies and gentlemen in the audience, start getting yourselves ready for biking shape, because we'll have a bike ride next spring.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we're about at the end of the show. Have anything else to share with our listeners?
So
in less than 30 seconds.
Remember, send in your picks to Beat the Chief. And I want to thank Kevin for making it in and talking with us about the opioid problem and drugs in general. And I will see you next week.
Not me. You'll be alone.
I'll be alone. What a much better show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're signing off. Have a good week.
Bye.